produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
We are here at Chapter 9. We know this is Exodus. We know this story of Moses. And God is trying to simply pull his people out of Egypt. They were in Egypt for multiple reasons, but because he was building his great nation, the three elements of a great nation, which I will tell you almost every session, is to have his nation, he had to build his people, he had to build his law, establish his law, and then give them the land. Well, he used Egypt to grow or to protect the small little 75 people of Israel. And because Egypt was the mighty power, the strongest nation in the world at that time, he used Egypt to protect and let them find favor in the eyes of the Pharaoh, and use Egypt to protect the little baby 75 member nation. Now we see in Exodus, they have grown to 2.5 million. Now, multiple pharaohs later, not the same pharaoh, multiple pharaohs later, they are now not in favor with the pharaoh, but it's all by the design of God. And God is now using the plagues to pull the people out of Egypt so that he can get them to Mount Sinai, give them the laws, the Ten Commandments. There's about 600 commandments, but 600 laws or so. But we group them together like in the Ten Commandments. He's going to give them that. That's going to be the second element of building his nation, the law. And then they go to the promised land. Okay. And when they make it to the promised land, then they totally and all inclusively, they will be the nation or the great nation of Israel and the Israelites. So we matriculated down to chapter 9, and we're at the fifth plague. The fifth plague. And this plague is the livestock was diseased, okay? We already dealt with plague number one, the Nile River was turned to blood. Plague number two was the frogs upon the earth. Plague number three was the swarms of gnats or lice or gnats. Plague number four was flies, okay? Flies. Now remember, the first three plagues, Israel was not, or the Hebrews was not exempt from those plagues. It happened to everybody. They were in Egypt, but of course we know they were not, the best way to put it, not inside the city limits. They was outside of the city, okay? So, but they were still affected in the first three. The water turned into blood, the frogs, and the gnats. They were affected by that, okay? But starting at the fourth plague, God showed a separation between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, meaning his people, the blessed people, and the non-blessed people, or the covenant people, the covenant-carrying people, and the non-covenant people, okay? The Abrahamic covenant, his covenant was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay? Jacob's name is Israel now, okay? So he's letting you know that there's a separation between his people and everybody else that's worshiping false gods. Now, remember again that each plague theoretically is disproving or going against a god that they were worshiping. The Nile turning to blood, there was a god of the Nile or a guardian of the Nile. The frogs, there was a god of the frog, okay? The gnats, the same thing. That theologian said that the gnats was pretty much attacking the Egyptian priests and to show what they could and could not do. The flies, there was a god who manifested himself as a fly, and they believed in that, okay? Now, this one, the fifth plague, the livestock, Apis, A-P-I-S, was a bull god, sacred bull or cows. I mean, all of this makes no sense whatsoever. So each individual plague was going against, most of them was going against, theoretically, a god that they were serving at the time. Okay, so keep that in mind. So here we go. Chapter 9. The fifth plague, the livestock is disease. Okay. You will see it opens up. The Lord saying, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But if you refuse and still hold on to them, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, on the sheep. There will be a very severe pestilence, which is disease. Okay? Pestilence or disease. We have a pestilence now, COVID-19, coronavirus, okay? Disease. Okay, you will see down in chapter 4, verse 4, I will make a difference, here we go, between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. Nothing shall die that belongs to the children of Israel. So he was making a distinction between his covenant people and everybody else worshiping these false gods. He was also showing how powerful and mighty he was to another degree by separating the two people. If gnats came on everybody, then Pharaoh could just say it happened to everybody. But when you cause a distinction between my people and your people, or this area and that area, then that just takes the power level to a totally different level, okay? That's what God is doing right now, okay? So down in verse 5 through 7, you see, the Lord set a time for it to happen. See, he's taking it up a notch every time. So he's caused a distinction between the area and the people, and now he's even saying specifically when it's going to happen, okay? Stating tomorrow it will occur. So that when it happens at that specific time, there's no way you can deny that God did it, okay? All right, are we together? Okay, so then the scripture says the next day, all the livestock of Egypt died, just like he foretold the day before. But none of the livestock of Israel died. None of them. So what did Pharaoh do? If you saw in your reading, Pharaoh sent his people to go do a double check, okay? Go over and check Goshen. Go over and see that land that the Hebrew, wherever over there where the Hebrews live, and see if they still have livestock. Well, they came back with a report that Pharaoh didn't want to hear. The report was, yes, all of the livestock of Israel is still alive. Everything over there is alive. Everything that we own is dead. Now, that's a powerful God. Amen. Amen. But get this. That closes out. That little section closes out by saying, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Still having a hard heart. Still being hard-headed, still don't want to listen. Remember, think about it from Pharaoh's perspective. I have 2.5 million slaves working for me. If you have a business and your business has 25 people, would you want those 25 to leave? You're going to have to replace them. You're going to lose 25 people of your workforce, okay? So, of course, he did not want this to happen. They were making them rich or making the country rich, okay? Or richer than what they already were, okay? So his heart became hard. And that matters there. Like, it matters that the wording that the Bible used, because we see either it says that his heart became hard, or his heart grew hard, or his heart was hard. That makes a difference, and we'll see that in a minute. Okay, so now we're down to the sixth plague, still in the same chapter. The sixth plague is the boils. The sixth plague, Israel again was exempt. Okay, and it goes against the god of the goddess with power to heal, or Serapis, S-E-R-A-P-I-S, Serapis, the healing god. Okay, that's who they were worshiping. So the boils, the plague, went against that god, the healing god, or the goddess. Another, they had two. It was a healing god and a goddess with power to heal. Okay, so a god and goddess, male and female. Okay, so it went against that. So here we go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. I love how that worded that. That means something. Scatter it or throw it up in the air toward the heaven. Okay? So we know where this is coming from. Do it in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man, but get this, and on beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Egypt only, okay? Moses did so, and the boils appeared just as the Lord said it would. Just as I said it would, it happened exactly with that. So if you skip down to verse 11 and 12, here we go with these magicians again, okay? The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. Now God is dealing with these soothsayers, all these magicians who's going against his word and trying to disprove what he's doing, okay? Now, they could not stand before Moses anymore because of the boils were on their skin, okay? The boils was attacking their skin and their bodies. Well, here's a tidbit for you, those that are listening and those that have the notes. The magicians are not mentioned in Exodus again after this point. Okay, so God dealt with them, and he dealt with them swiftly. You remember the other plagues, they would always show up, and they would do a miracle or a trick. Not a miracle, I'm sorry, let me take that back. He would do a trick, okay? They would perform a trick to try to prove that what Moses was doing was a trick as well, but it would always be on some small scale, okay? Some smaller scale. So, God had to deal with those magicians. So he got them out of the way. They're not mentioned again in Exodus at all. So they're out the picture. Amen. But the Lord, Yahweh, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Okay. Now, I'm about to say something. I'm going to explain it. This is the first instance that it says that the Lord was doing the hardening of the heart, okay? The first instance. Now, you're saying, no, I saw that as well, okay? But here's the thing. When the Lord said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, when he said that, he was speaking overall and speaking prophetically over the whole situation, that he is going to harden his heart. Now, first of all, remember, he's in control of all. So Pharaoh having a hardened heart from the beginning was God's doing from the beginning anyway, because God set up the whole situation. Yes, I understand that, okay? And yes, I must say that. But the Bible specifically says his heart became hard, his heart was hard, his heart grew hard. So it's trying to specify that was him in his own brain for his reasoning and how his heart was He was trying to purposely remain with a hardened heart and not listen to Moses and not adhere to all these plagues and miracles that was going on around him, okay? So this is the first time that it's said that the Lord hardened the heart, okay? Specifically for this plague itself, okay? Now, when it said it in chapter 4, verse 21, that was just the foretelling of the event. He was saying, I'm going to harden his heart. I will harden his heart. And that's exactly what he's doing. So don't let this part confuse you, okay? Pharaoh had a part in it per se, because we know God is in control, but he had a part in it per se because of his own motives. He wanted his heart to remain hard. But so what we have to deduct from the different wording is that by this time with the sixth plague is working on Pharaoh. And really he's having a breakthrough at this point. After seeing plague one, plague two, plague three, plague four, plague five, plague six, now his heart is changing. So because of his heart is changing, God now had to harden the heart specifically in scripture is what it says. You follow me? I don't want that to throw you off. It's not that of major of a deal, but it's something for you to understand. His heart was changing. His mind was changing. So now we see in the sixth plague, now God could not let him then turn around and say, okay, I've had enough. Everybody can go. No. That couldn't happen. God had to harden his heart because he had to go through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, okay? His plan and his purpose had to be fulfilled, okay? He's no short of his word. He's going to do it no matter what man says. God's plan and his purpose will go forward, okay? So just in case you had any questions over that, I just wanted to cover that. So, and yes, Egypt was exempt from the boils. They were exempt, okay? I just got that question. They were exempt from the boils, okay? So the seventh plague, hail. The seventh plague, hail. That plague is there, the Egyptian god, Seth, S-E-T-H, and the Egyptian goddess, Nut, N-U-T. Seth was the protector of the crops, and Nut was the goddess of the sky. So God is going against the god and goddess that they were worshiping in Egypt, and you will see the plague of the hail affected the crops, okay, and the cattle, all right? So the seventh plague, hail, same chapter, okay? Again, we see, let my people go, that they may serve me, that they may serve me. And it says, I will send my plagues, why? That you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. One of our favorite scriptures. There's none like him in all the earth. He was proving his point. He could not let Pharaoh turn around and say, okay, I've had enough. This is it. Plagues are over. Everybody can go. No, he had to prove a point, and he had to go against all these fake gods and goddesses, little g's, both. Little g god, little g goddesses. Anytime that you see a female depicted goddess, that's a pagan, that is devil worshiping, okay? Anytime that you see that in scripture, okay? So verse 15 and 16, you see, listen to this statement, and this is showing how powerful God is and how sovereign God is. I could have cut all your people off the face of the earth with these plagues or pestilences or diseases, but I didn't. This is God speaking. I didn't. For the purpose, why? That I may show my power in you, that my name shall be declared in all the earth. Amen, somebody. You need to get excited over that. God is saying, God is controlling the actions and the reactions of the people. He is using them as puppets to show his power in them and through them, into the whole world. that he can take down the mighty nation of Egypt and all of the fake gods. And he's saying, I could wipe you out anytime I wanted to, but he didn't, because my plan and purpose has to go forward. Amen? That's what he's saying. Okay, if you look at 18 and 19, the verses, it says, this time tomorrow, he's foretelling it again, this time tomorrow I will bring forth hail and thunder and fire to the ground. It shall rain down on every animal and man found in the field and is not brought home inside. If it's outside and not brought in, it shall surely die, is what it was saying. So you see in 20 through 26, and I'm paraphrasing for time, the next day, just as it was spoken, Moses stretched out his rod towards the heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire mingled with the hail. My God, not just fire, but hail, but not just hail, but fire had to come with it. Okay. The hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, Egypt only. All that was in the field, both man and beast, the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. My God. There was no hail in the land of Goshen. Where is Goshen? Where the Hebrews or Israelites were living outside of the city of Egypt. Okay? So when it says the land throughout the land of Egypt, that specifies just the Egyptian people. Okay? That's why. I had a question, was it who was affected? Well, when you see the land, or the Egyptians, that's what they're saying. Egypt, Egyptians, or the land, it was specifying the two, okay? Separating the two, okay? So if you skip down to verse 27 and 28, okay, Pharaoh sees what's going on. So Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. Now listen to what he's saying now. Now this is what I'm trying to tell you. His heart is changing, okay? His mind is definitely changing. He's definitely getting his mind right, okay? I have sinned this time. Oh, I've sinned this time, he said. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Oh, my God. Now, that's a declaration from the mighty Pharaoh, right? Okay. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering in hell, for it is enough. He said, I had enough. I give up. I throw in the white flag, okay? I throw in the towel. I wave the white flag, should I say. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. His mind was made up. Okay. Now, verse 28 through 30, right below it, it says, Moses said, as soon as I have gone out the city, I will stretch out my hand and the hail will cease. You will know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. I just add that to it. But the earth is the Lord's, is what the scripture says. But get this, look at what Moses said right after that. But I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Why? Because God has already spoken to him saying that he would harden his heart. He foretold it already. So until God tells Moses the people will be let go or released or exit or exodus tomorrow or at a specific time, Moses knows that the plagues will continue. Okay? That's what Moses is saying. God haven't told me that we're leaving tomorrow. He didn't tell me to pack. So I know that your heart will be hardened again, is what he's saying. Okay? So look at verse 31, 32. Okay? Flax and barley were struck. We're talking about the fields, the crops. Wheat and spelt were not struck, for they were late crops. Okay? There's a purpose for I'm saying this. There's a purpose for the scripture saying this. The flax and barley, those crops were destroyed from the hail. But the wheat and speck wasn't, because they were later crops. Okay? Now, they were expecting, they actually said to themselves, okay, we don't have the flax and the barley, but the wheat is about to come up, or not yet ready to come up. But when it does, here very quickly, very shortly, we will at least have the wheat. That's what happened with the last plague, okay? Well, that's what happened with this plague. But the next plague, I'm telling you ahead of time, the plague of the locust is gonna take care of the wheat. So God had it all taken care of, but that just let you know ahead of time. okay? But they were expecting to save the wheat because it was not done away with by this plague, okay? Now, that's why it was worded like that. So verse 33 through 35, when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So now they're back to being hard again, okay? Neither would he let the children of Israel go. Why? Because it's all in the plan and purpose of God. It wasn't yet time. It wasn't yet time. Why? As the Lord has spoken to Moses. Before time is what it was saying, okay? So the seventh plague is concluded, but the seventh plague showed the Lord's ownership of and sovereignty over the entire earth. Okay, he can manipulate the entire earth, and he's showing his sovereignty over the entire earth. For my young people that's listening, I know that word sovereignty sounds strange. The most simple definition of sovereignty is this: you can have power, but do you have the authority and right to exercise that power? Sovereignty is not only you are powerful, but you have the authority to use that power as you so see fit. And whenever you so choose to, whenever you wish, you have the authority to use the power in any way you so see fit. That is what sovereignty means. So when we say that the Most High, the Lord, is sovereign, he is mighty, he is powerful, but he has the authority to use that power as he so see fits. Amen? Amen? All right. Hopefully that blessed somebody. My young folks, if you heard that word and wasn't sure about what that meant, okay? Now, here we go. We're down to chapter 10. Chapter 10, we're doing good. We're halfway through the lesson, okay? Chapter 10, the eighth plague. The eighth plague, the locusts, the locusts. So in the eighth plague is the destruction of crops by locusts. And Israel was exempt, okay? Plague 1, 2, and 3, Israel was not exempt. The remainder, Israel were exempt, okay? With a little stipulation on 10. But it goes against Isis, I-S-I-S, the goddess of life, they were worshiping, and Seth, S-E-T-H, the god of crops, or the god that protects the crops, okay? So those, that's the god and goddess that he was disproving or going against in the eighth plague, theoretically, okay? So it starts off by saying, go into Pharaoh, for I, God, the Most High, Yahweh, have hardened his heart, and the hearts of his servants, that why? That I may show these signs of mine before him. It's what God is saying, okay? That you may tell future generations about the signs I have done, that you may know that I am Yahweh, the Lord, translated Yahweh, okay? I said it before and I say it again. When you see in this translation, the Lord, in these chapters, especially in Exodus, it is translated Yahweh. The translators felt his name was too holy to be spoken or to be written, so it was translated the Lord, okay? And he specifically says, I am the Lord. I am the Most High. I am Yahweh, okay? That's where you see YHWH written. That's Yahweh. Okay, so you see verses 3 through 6, okay? But he added, let me go back. He added in this section that the future generations may know, or this may be spoken of for future generations, what I have done to Egypt and the plagues that I have done and how I have delivered my people out of bondage. Amen. So he was making a point. I am the Lord, and this will be spoken of for all future generations. And what are we doing now? 2,000 years later, we are speaking of it. Amen? Amen. So verse 3 through 6, Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh, the Lord, Yahweh, said, how long shall you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go. Said it once again. But if you refuse, if you refuse, now I those of you that have the notes in front of you that I sent, I detailed it out for you for the sake of time. He says, I will bring locusts into your territory. No one shall be able to see the earth. They shall cover the earth. They shall eat what's left from the last plague. Remember I mentioned that to you? They thought they would at least have the wheat left, right? So, but now the hail is taken care of, okay? Hail or will take care of. They shall eat every tree. They shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants. They shall fill every house of every Egyptian, not Hebrew, not the land they were living, but the Egyptians, Egypt only. So in verse 7, you see, the servant said to Pharaoh, how long should this man be a snare to us? He's not talking about God or the Most High God. He's talking about Moses specifically. Okay, speaking of Moses, saying that Moses is the cause of the problem, not God, right? So, of course, they're trying to defer or deflect and peek that, you know, they're just saying it's not God. It's man in front of us performing tricks. So, let the men go. Get this now. This is what Pharaoh's trying to play a couple of tricks here with his wording of how he's speaking to Moses, okay? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord. Let the men go. Now, is that what Moses said to him initially? Okay, every time we've said the same thing, let my people go. He's saying, let the men go, that they may serve the Lord. That's not good enough. Not everyone, just the men. So then look at verse 8 and 9. Moses and Aaron went again to Pharaoh, and he said, go serve your Lord. But then he asks, who are the ones that are going? Okay, he already slipped in there real quick, let the men go. Now he's saying, who are the ones that are going? And Moses says, young and old, sons and daughters, flocks and herds. What is Moses saying? Everybody and everything. Everybody and everything. That's who's going. Well, you see in verse 10, Pharaoh said to them, evil is ahead of you. So your Lord better be with you when I let the little ones go with you. Meaning, if you travel with little ones, there's beasts out there, there's different nations out there. It's going to be dangerous out there for you. My God, he's trying everything he can. Verse 11, you see it says, oh, not so, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desired, right? That's what you asked me, right? But it wasn't. That is not what they asked. That is not what is desired of them. So 12 through 15, it goes right to the Lord spoke to Moses. Okay, let's go ahead and bring this to pass. Because he's trying to trick you by just saying, let the men go. Then the Lord spoke to Moses to stretch out his hand and bring forth the locusts. God caused an east wind to come and brought forth the locusts. The locusts did exactly what he said he was going to do. There remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. My God. So now here comes Pharaoh calling for him again. Verse 16, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Hurry up and come to me. Here we go again. A partial confession, right? I have sinned against the Lord, your God, not my God, but your God. I have sinned against the Lord, your God, and against you. Please forgive my sin and take away me from this death. Meaning they knew, okay, the cattle was dead, the greenery was gone, all these things are happening one after another. They know they was going to surely die. That's what that meant. So if you look down to close out this plague, Moses, 18 to 20, Moses spoke to the Lord, and he caused a strong west wind to blow the locusts away into the Red Sea. But Yahweh, the Lord, hardened Pharaoh's heart again, and did not let the children of Israel go. Because we still got plague 9 and plague 10 that we need to do. Okay? So we're down, same chapter, to the 9th plague. Darkness. Darkness. The 9th plague went against Re, the sun god. Okay? Or Atum, A-T-U-M, the god of the setting sun. Okay? Those are the gods that they was worshiping. So that's why the 9th plague is darkness. Okay, you look at 21 through 23, those verses, same chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. You know, as we say, the darkness was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Okay, darkness fell over Egypt for 3 days. They could not see each other nor leave from their homes. But the Hebrews had light in their homes. Amen, somebody. That's what the scripture says. Just not me getting excited, okay? So verse 24, Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. But here we go again, trying to manipulate the situation. First he said, just the men go, right? Now he's saying, but leave your flocks and herds behind. Okay, but the little ones can go also with you. So now we went from the men to the little ones, but now the flocks and herds can't go. So Moses said again, verse 25, we must sacrifice to the Lord. As I have told you before, all livestock must go. The scripture says not one hoof shall be left behind. So what the scripture is actually saying is that we have to take all of our livestock because our Lord God may specify to us a particular animal or a particular number of animals to sacrifice every day that we're there. So we can't leave any animals behind. That's what they're saying, okay? So you see in verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. Why? Because we got to get through the plagues, okay? So then Pharaoh then said to Moses, Pharaoh said to Moses, get away from me. If I see your face again, or you see my face again, I will put you to death. But remember, this is still a Pharaoh now. He's still the king over all the land. I will put you to death. So then they departed. Okay? So now here we are, chapter 11. Chapter 11. We're doing good. Chapter 11. You will see it says the death of the firstborn announced, okay? Spoke of or foretold. You see that chapter is very short, so it's not gonna take us long to do it. But it says, if you see in your Bibles, it started off with chapter 11, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. Okay, here we go. There it is, okay? That's the wording we've been waiting for. Up until now, this has not been said. Are you with me? Now it's saying, after this plague, he will let you go from here. It goes on to say, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Not only will he let you go, that drive means he will force you to go at a quick pace, is what that means, okay? He will kick you out of here, is what that is saying. So look at verse 2-3. Let every Hebrew man and woman ask of their neighbor for silver and gold. The Lord gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Why, people? Why does it say that? Why does it say that? Because remember, back in chapter 3, verse 22, it says that the Hebrews will plunder the Egyptians. So what God is doing, he foretold that prophetically back in chapter 3, okay? And we're in chapter 11. So he's saying still, what will happen is you will go to the Egyptians and ask for silver, gold, and clothing, and they will give it to you. You will have favor in their sight, meaning two things. They're going to be so ready to get rid of you and stop these plagues, they're going to give you everything you ask for, okay? But think about it, people, from the broad scheme of things, okay? Remember what God is doing. The Abrahamic covenant, I will make your name great. I will make your people great. I will make you great upon the earth. You will be a great nation, a peculiar nation, a particular nation. You will be wealthy, okay? All of these things. When they leave Egypt, they will have Egypt's wealth. They will have food, water, they will have clothing, they will have wealth. They will have everything that they need, they will be provided for. Let me say that. They will have wealth and they will have clothing, okay? Because God is going to provide for them the food and water. But this is saying they will be wealthy. All the wealth that Egypt had acquired, now he's making his nation rich. He's making the Hebrews and Israelites rich, okay? Which is one of the reasons why they went into Egypt from the beginning, to be protected so they could grow from 75 to 2.5 million. They could be provided for, even though they were slaves, okay? They were provided for. Now when they get ready to leave, God's going to make sure they have wealth when they go, okay? So that's why he's doing that. Keep the broad scheme of things in mind. Remember the Abrahamic covenant. Remember he's forming his nation, okay? Those two things as you are reading. So Moses was great in the sight of the people of Egypt, meaning they reverenced him because of all these things were coming to pass that he was speaking of. So the people blamed Pharaoh now and believed Moses. So the people was like, get these Hebrews out of our land. Okay, so verse 4, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Every class of people and every animal. Every class of people and every animal. The first born shall die. Israel shall be exempt, so that you may know that the Lord makes a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. So you will know that there's a difference between the Most High God and these little fake gods that y'all are serving. The God that we serve, my brother, my sister, is a jealous God. He does not want any gods before him, period, point blank, okay? Verse 8, Moses spoke in anger. Did y'all catch that? Did you catch that this time? He spoke in anger for the first time. Now, you remember he was real reluctant to speak. Oh, I'm slow of speech, my Lord. Aaron will come with him. But now he's bold. He's confident by this plague, and it says he spoke in anger. It says, all your servants shall bow down to me and tell me to get out with all the people who follow you. He's speaking real cocky at this point, okay? But he was speaking out of anger. So verse 9 through 11, the Lord spoke to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land. So the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people go. God is controlling the actions and the reactions of everything that we are reading. So now he's about to release. Now, he wasn't saying after the plague, he will not let them go. He's saying right now, he will not let them go. Okay? But after the firstborn has been taken of every household and every animal, then Pharaoh will let them go, is what he's saying. Okay? So don't get confused there. So that gets us right to chapter 12, which is the Passover, okay? Chapter 12, the Passover instituted, okay? This month shall be the beginning of months, theoretically saying the beginning of the Hebrew calendar, like is what they're saying. It shall be the first month of the year for you, not for everybody else, for you, for my people, okay? Then it goes on to say, on the 10th of the month, take a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. This is the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. What are we talking about? We're talking about the coming Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, Yahshua, shedding blood for us so that we may be saved. It's all what this is about, foretelling that, okay? We know that, but let me just make sure to say that, okay? So a male of the first year for every household. Now, keep this lamb. Keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Now, if you caught that, it's saying when it says on the 10th of the month, take a lamb, does not mean to kill it. It means to take it, okay? Select it, pick it. Pick the one without blemish that was perfect. Now, on the 14th of the month, now it's saying different. Why? Because they had time to inspect it and check it for defects and make sure that it was perfect. It gave them time to do so. That's why you saw it said 10th and then it says 14th, okay? Then kill it at twilight and smear blood on the side posts and the top posts of your doorways. And after you kill it and do that with the blood, roast the meat with fire and eat with unleavened bread. Don't eat the meat raw. Don't eat the meat boiled. It has to be by fire, is what God gave them specifics to do. That was for their household and their dwellings only, okay? So any of the meat that remains that they ate till they were full, they were fine, but meat was left over. In the morning, there was not to be anything left. So they had to dispose of anything left by fire. Okay, dispose of it all. And it went on to say, eat it with a belt on, meaning their clothes and girdled up your loins, okay? Eat it with a belt on, with clothing on, with shoes on, fully clothed, and with a staff in your hand. Wow. Eat it in haste and hurry up to eat it. And we'll explain that, okay? It says, it is the Lord's Passover. So this is the Passover instituted. Very, very, very important. Very important. Now, the explanation. Eating in haste, hurriedly, and eating unleavened bread would remind them later for future generations. The Israelites did not have time to repair. To prepare. I'm sorry. They did not have time to prepare. Okay. It would remind the Israelites of their rapid departure from Egypt. In a moment, God delivered them and they had to rush and get out of Egypt when it happens. Okay. So it's unleavened bread. That's why they were fully clothed. The unleavened bread is because when you add the leaven to the bread, you have to give it time to rise. They were not going to have time to do that. So the Passover or Passover festival or commemoration, it has to be unleavened bread. That's why, to commemorate what happened the night before the Exodus. Okay? So verse 12, I hope I explained that well enough. So that's why we see all throughout that, when we see in scripture, unleavened bread, because they did not have time to prepare it with leaven. So to commemorate what God did, it had to be unleavened bread to remember the departure of the Exodus, okay? The deliverance, should I say, from Egypt or from bondage. So verse 12, I will strike the firstborn of Egypt, man and beast. And against all, here we go. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High God. Right there, I was asked a question, why do we believe that the plagues were also against or to disprove the gods that they were serving? There you have your explanation in verse 12. And against all the gods, little g's, of Egypt, I will execute judgment as well. So this is against those gods as well, okay? So verse 13, the blood, amen, the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, that we know, that we stand on, the blood be a sign that when I see it, I will pass over you or pass over your dwelling, and the plague shall not be on you. Amen. So 14 through 17, this shall be a memorial for you, and you shall keep it as a feast for all generations, as a everlasting covenant. Now, somebody should have read that and thought about something, okay? It is a feast for all generations as a everlasting covenant. So what this scripture is saying, just like we commemorate the Lord's Supper, this saying, this is a everlasting covenant to be kept for all generations, but we're not in the habit of partaking in the Passover and or the Passover festival or feast. So maybe we need to start thinking about that. Amen, somebody. Just a little tidbit for free, okay? 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. All leavened bread shall be removed from the house on the first day of the 7 days. No leavened bread should be in the house for 7 days. Disobedience meant being cut off. Now, cut off can be translated killed, okay? Cut off means cut off from the nation. Very severe. God was not playing. The holy convocation on the first day and on the seventh day, the beginning and the end. No work shall be done so that all may eat. This is the feast of unleavened bread. But we're not doing that today, but it's saying it's everlasting for all generations. Something we may need to think about. Amen? Things that make you say, Okay. From the 14th day of the month to the 21st day of the month, you shall eat unleavened bread. God is being very specific, okay? Verse 21 through 28, Moses told the people exactly what the Lord had said. The people of Israel went away and did just as the Lord had commanded them to do, okay? Very important line right here. The people of Israel went away and did just as the Lord had commanded them to do. Okay, now, the 10th plague, okay, Israel was exempt from the 10th plague, but they were exempt by their obedience. Hello, somebody. They were exempt, but if they did not do exactly what God told them to do, then that particular household would be dealt with, and the firstborn would die, okay? But they don't have to worry about that because the scripture says the people of Israel did exactly what they were commanded to do, okay? So that's why when you look up the plagues, it says, yes, Israel was exempt if they applied the blood properly. If they didn't, they would fall by the plague as well, okay? So 29 and 30, verses 29 and 30, same chapter. The death of the firstborn, the 10th and final plague, okay? 10th and final plague. I got about 6 minutes. So the Lord struck down every firstborn of every household in Egypt and the cattle as well. There was not a house that there was not one dead. My God, my God. Every single household, at least one firstborn was dead. One person was dead, the firstborn, okay? And the cattle as well. So here we are, verse 31. And we know that the shedding of blood, that's what we're talking about. The blood that Jesus Christ, Yahshua, shed for us. Years after this, this is what it is an example of, okay? This is an example of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. This is what this is, okay? Verse 31, the Exodus. Here we go, the Exodus. Pharaoh said, rise, get up, go out from among my people. Now, this is when everyone had died, and Pharaoh's firstborn died. Okay? Who was Pharaoh's firstborn? The next Pharaoh to be. Okay? So you know this affected the Pharaoh. So go out from among my people. Get out of here. Both you and your children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks, take your herds, and be gone. And all of them, get this now. Remember he said just the men. Then he says the men or maybe the little ones or not the cattle or not this and not that. Now he's saying, everybody get out of here. But has the audacity to say, and also bless me. So now we know that his heart has changed. Because now he's saying, bless me also. Wow. So then verse 33 through 36. But, you know, he was just a puppet to be used anyway, right? Okay. So verse 33 and 36. The Egyptians rushed them to leave in haste, hurriedly. So the people took their dough before it was leavened and left. Now you get it? They rushed them by word of mouth, boom. Everybody was told to leave. They was forced out. They were kicked out. They did not have time to put leaven in the bread and let it rise and then cook leavened bread or have leavened bread or leavened dough. They left or were kicked out in such a hurry, meaning God moved in an instant and delivered them. Wow. What does that mean? God can deliver anybody in an instant. Amen. Anybody. At the twinkling of an eye, he can deliver anybody from anything in an instant. So that's why they were told unleavened bread. Okay. Then the people asked the Egyptians for gold and silver and clothing. They plundered the people. God was providing for the people. I've already explained that before. Okay. 37, they journeyed from Ramesses, where they were in Egypt, to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot. Now, if you saw that, don't let that trip you up. When the Bible speaks of numbers, they always count the men. The men, you gotta figure wives as well. You gotta figure women that were not married. You gotta figure all of the children, 600,000 men, if they had two children or three children or four children apiece, that's where your number 2.5 million comes from, okay? So don't let that trip you. The Bible always counts the men because the man is the head of the household. So when it speaks of numbers, that's why they always count the men, okay? That's the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that, you know, with the fish and the loaves? Well, the 5,000 were men. But it were also wives and children. So the miracle was so much greater than what we think of it as because it only gave the number for the men, okay? But I digress, excuse me. So verse 40, 37 also says, it says specifically, not counting women and children, also all of their flocks and herds, okay? So it was only counting the men in the 600,000. Imagine that many people moving at one time. Wow. So, verse 40, 430 years was spent in Egypt, okay? And on that very day, the Exodus occurred. So, this is the night of the Lord, Yahweh, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel for all the generations. We've spoken of that already, okay? This is to always be remembered, okay? In a ceremony, in a feast. So, 43 through 51 is just giving specifics or regulations or stipulations of the Passover, okay? And so we will just read straight through this and we'll be done. No foreigner shall eat the Passover or participate in that festival, okay? It was only for the Hebrews, for the Israelites. Now, purchased servants, if they later had servants, they may eat. But they had to be circumcised first, okay? Had to be circumcised first. Remember, the circumcision was the sign of the obedience of the covenant, remember? Okay, so If you purchased a servant and the servant was under your care and lived in your household and it was your property, then they had to be circumcised. Then they could participate in the Passover. A person just passing through or a hired servant temporarily shall not eat the Passover. Passing through, foreigner, passerby, whatever that is, they cannot participate. A stranger that is allowed to live with you, if you take someone in your home and they want to eat the Passover and it is accepted by the household, all males must be circumcised and they be as natives in the land. They actually had to move there permanently, okay? So specifically, no uncircumcised person shall ever eat of the Passover, okay? This is the sign of the covenant. Wow. So verse 51, and it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The Exodus occurred. Amen? Amen. So that is the last or the last thing we need to say. And I have 8:02. We are ending on time. We started just a few minutes later. I hope that these lessons are blessing you. I hope that the explanation of the plagues have blessed you and gave you more understanding. Lord, I truly hope that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart was acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength. Oh, Lord, you are our redeemer. I pray a special blessing upon each and every person that was on this line or that may study this lesson in the future, that their sacrifice of time may be honored by the Most High God, and they will receive a special blessing for learning of your word, your will, and your way. And Father God, we pray that you receive all the praise, glory, and the honor. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This will conclude our lesson.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.